right? You know, you don't go to law before the unrighteous, you know, a matter against another. Now, this another that I'm bringing this suit against, this Christian is saying, I don't think is righteous. So therefore, I can take them to law because the state, okay, the world's authority gives me the right to do that. Now, under the state authority, you're justified.
Yes.
You can take anybody to court.
Yes.
Under the state's authority. But under God's, if you use that scripture, you can't use that scripture.
And it says the people who do this are unlearned people and unstable people.
Right.
And they do it unto their own destruction.
Right.
So even if you win the lawsuit, spiritually, you've destroyed yourself.
I know two pastors that did that. One pastor, Calvary Baptist Church, you know Mark, because you used to go there with me.
Right.
His congregation got rid of him just the way mine got rid of me, and he took them to court to sue the church.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, don't do that, Joseph. A pastor never sues the congregation. They're wicked. They're sinners. I said, what you're doing, this is showing your disposition. This is showing your heart.
Mm-hmm.
This is showing what you're about. You are going to get your money, your part, to justify you. I said, what you've done is you've X'd out being the holy pastor. Got another pastor friend of mine did that. I'll just call him Frank. That's his first name. He sued the church, got the building, took all the money. And last time I saw Frank, he had a massive stroke. Was on two crutches, could barely hold his head up. And I looked at him, and I just said, I told you not to do that. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm talking about?
Listen,
we should have a certain disposition. We should be willing to suffer as Christ suffered. Come on, Bob.
This is a great thing.
All right.
What you've just said is, when these people do this to their own destruction,
yes.
You just shifted it.
Yes.
Yeah. God was going to judge that ungodly person that did the ungodly act.
Yes.
And instead, you won the lawsuit, and God shifted the judgment onto you.
Yes. Yes. I call it the Johnny Cochran syndrome. When he got OJ off, he says, yes, and he was all happy. Mm-hmm. And God went into the same brain that, you know, contrived that and made him crazy and killed him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's why you cannot go. Listen, the court system is not set up. This is in the Bible, because the court system is not set up for believers.
But Johnny was this great believer. That's what they said at his funeral.
Course, that's what they said, that he's in heaven now, mediating, I guess, for the rest of the reprobates that snuck in the kingdom. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we have to be very careful. This subject matter may not be an important one, but as times are hard, people losing their jobs, losing their stuff. Come on, Bob, talk.
Yeah,
I told you this was going to be hot tonight.
All of these things happen, again, Romans 8:28, they happen for your good. Every single calamity in the Christian life happens for good.
Yes.
It might be that he means to move you out of a position that you were comfortable in, and he wanted to move you, free you up to be available for a better position.
Yes.
It could mean that. Does not necessarily mean that. It could mean that you were too prosperous and you had gotten a little too far away from him. And so then he made you, okay, I'm going to crash that, so that now you're going to have to come to me on bended knee every single day asking me, please provide for me today. Because why? Because you weren't on him, on your bended knee before him every single day prior to that. And that's all he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear from you. He wanted to commune from you. He wanted you to see his faithfulness rather than you trusting in the world's riches and the world's faithfulness. And so we don't know exactly. Again, these people intended it for evil. God intended for good. I think that's Genesis 50, and I will look it up to give you the specific reference to that. But that's what Joseph said.
Right.
And this was all when his brothers sold him into slavery because they were jealous of him.
He was his
daddy's favorite son.
Yeah. He was suffering.
And so they didn't like the favorite son anymore.
Right.
And they threw him into slavery. They threw him into bondage. Well, God lifted him up.
Right.
Made him the right-hand man to Pharaoh. And he ended up saving his own family when the famine came. So he said, he didn't hold a grudge against them. They were fearful of him that he was going to kill them, and he said, no.
I guess
you intended it for evil. God meant it for good.
I guess it's because I'm older. I had to buy a new unit here in my studio. It cost me a couple of grand and more. All right, I had to do that. And I'm saying, well, Lord, okay, everything's going up on YouTube. It's working like a charm, just the way I wanted it. But I'm thinking, Mark, my God, I can't afford another payment. Yeah. What am I going to do? All right, so look what happens. All right, I only have one class, and I'm teaching in college. And I'm an adjunct professor. Check it out. This is the way God works. I'm an adjunct professor, meaning that I have no voice on anything. I can't go and ask for other work or anything. All right, all of a sudden, they call me and say, we had a professor that had a heart problem.
Right.
And we need somebody to teach two of his classes. For how long? Well, end up this semester. Wait a minute. Take his winter term class. Then they call me this week and said, and we want you to take another class in spring.
Yeah.
I'll have that thing paid off.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm, that's
right.
God.
Right.
Now, what did I do?
Right.
What
did I do? You did nothing.
I did nothing.
You trusted God.
I trusted God because everything is for the praise of his glory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go out there and try to make my life work. You cannot make your life work.
No, you can't.
If you're a Christian, you can't do it. You see, and that's why, listen, I would say to every believer, don't even think about suing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the world's way to resolve your conflict, to get a bunch of money. Well, my rights were worked against. Mark Ramsey, talk to me.
Whatever your mode of operation was before you became a believer, that stuff doesn't work anymore. Because if I have the mentality of I wanted to be a producer on a big, big, gigantic scale, but I work for a guy who works for God, so I'm working for God. So my scale of work, although we're on the internet and we're worldwide, it's not as big, but it is big. But I'm working for a bigger eternal plan.
Right.
So whatever I thought I could do before, those things, those kind of thoughts, those kind of maneuvers don't work when it comes to doing work for God, because he doesn't have a plan that way. He doesn't want me to do what I think I can do. It's learning the scriptures and learning what kind of behavior I should have and how I am to act as a believer and not be some maneuver person.
Okay, we've laid the premise. Now, guys, what we got to do is we got to show the people, the Christians, the ones that maybe have not come to this place. And you know what? I'm going to say this because this is going to go up on the internet. All three of us are talking this stuff. We don't know what God is going to bring in our lives. I don't know why. I may try to get up tomorrow morning and won't be able to walk.
Just the first 8 days of the year.
Yep.
The first 8 days.
And then I just say, well, here it is, guys. You know, how do we help the Christian that is looking at their whole life falling apart around them? So many of them are going to lose their jobs, lose their money, struggling to make ends meet. What can we suggest to our brothers and sisters? Because, all right, let's answer the question. So to go to court would only be if someone with maliciousness came against you to destroy you and it handicapped your life to the degree that the malicious attack that they did against you proved that they were not Christian and they were to bring harm to you. Then I would say you would have an obligation towards your family members to do something to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mark, you got your hand up. He got something important he's going to shoot at me.
I can use the examples that we've heard in the past couple of weeks where a couple of millionaires have killed themselves over the big swindle, the Madoff swindle. Obviously, these people had a lot of money and they had a lot of things that they could do, but the one thing that they didn't do or didn't have anymore, they lost hope.
Yeah.
So the believer,
wow.
We have God.
Right.
So I know things can get very difficult if everybody in the house loses their job, but the believer has that one thing. You can't give up hope. That's all you have when everything else is gone.
Hope and what when everything is gone? Go ahead, Bob.
Right, because those people lost hope because their hope was in the world, in the worldly riches
and their stuff,
and those, and they did not have the eternal perspective that all this stuff is temporary. You can take it away, just like Job. Naked I came into the world, naked I go out of the world.
He's right.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, just that's the way it is. So, and by the way, that other text is Genesis 50:20, by the way, where Joseph told them, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save many people alive. See, so.
Ooh, I'm so glad, Joseph. I'm so glad you said that. Check it out. Mark, you know, everything that happened to me at the vet,
yeah,
at Living by the Word, everything, all that evil intent,
right?
All the tears, all the sadness, all everything, I am heard and seen by more people today,
yes,
since that took place,
right,
which hurt me, which gave me a heart attack, which I think assisted my wife to leave the planet. All
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, she wouldn't deal with it right.
Yeah. You know,
she was disliking some folk
mm-hmm. yeah.
behind what they did
sure.
to her hubby, bubby, bubby.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, baby, you got to do what the scriptures tells you to do. Now, today, after all that time, why am I known by more people than I ever could have been known?
Right.
Because I trusted God and accepted the hit. When the hit comes, let it have its perfect work, Bob.
To save much people alive.
Yes, exactly. That's what happened. To save much people alive.
To take more souls to heaven.
To take more souls to heaven. So are you willing to take the hit and go through that to see what I can develop in you?
Well, and see, in prosperous time, you know, when everything's cruising along and everybody's doing good,
yeah.
you know, it's hard to have a witness.
Right.
But when people see really genuine, tough economic times,
yes.
turmoils, all kinds of, they're talking about the divorce rates. The divorce rates are going sky high now that people are, and actually T.D. Jakes.
There was
Jakes
a man
is,
on the news
well,
that's
Jakes
taking
Jakes
a kidney
got a
back
new,
from his wife.
Well,
yes.
And T.D. Jakes is,
yeah, this new movie, yeah.
He's got his new movie because he's going to save the families because so many families are failing now.
He's out of his mind.
Because of the stress. But anyway, so we see all of that turmoil. This is our opportunity to shine. This is our opportunity to say, look, yeah, I lost all this stuff. This is, I really genuinely trust God. You can actually see it. I can be joyful and still have the hope and still have the one thing that nobody can take away from me, my Savior, my saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's the thing that nobody can take from me. Nobody can kill me. Nobody can threaten it out of me. Now's our opportunity to shine. That's the attitude that we need to have is, okay, let me show how the Christian deals with this as opposed to the millionaire who jumps out of a building.
Wow, man. You know what? I had a guy call me today. Multiple sclerosis, cripple, lost his job, and going through the works, you guys know him. And he called me today, and I asked Mark, why did he say this to me? Bob, he said an amazing thing. I said, why do you keep calling me? And he says, I call you because your voice is like a light. And I asked Mark about it, and Mark told me, he says, John, everything about him, all the friends that he had, his family and everything, they're all dark. Mm. And so when he calls you, it's hope. Mm. Because he says, you keep encouraging me that regardless of how difficult it gets, because they repoed his car, they're about to repo his house, they're taking everything, and he calls me, and I says, what are you doing? He says, I'm working at this job for about $9 an hour, and he says, I'm happy as can be, and my neighbor comes and picks me up from the job, takes me home. He says, I have to take the bus everywhere now, and he said this to me today. I ride on the bus, and I just look at people, and I see something that I've never seen before. Because before he was in those fancy cars. Mm-hmm. See, when you have the fancy cars with the rims on it shining and the music playing and everything is cool. And then once all that's gone and you neutralize down there, see, it all changes. Now, why does God do this? God does this because that's how all of us as Christians should be willing to live. I've been there and done that. It wouldn't hurt me to take a bus. I'd just start witnessing to people. Don't put me on a bus. Because it'll be the best thing that you could have done to me. because as much as I love people, I'm talking to everybody. You see,
God, I've seen you on an airliner, Pastor. Captive audience for 3 hours.
They couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't go anywhere.
You see, got the whole section involved.
Oh, my goodness. You see what I'm talking about? That is what you do, because now back to our main point. Bob is crazy. But anyhow. All right. We got to talk the person down. Let the person know that Christ is watching every move they make in every situation. And then the Christian should ask themselves, would I approve of that? Like Bob said, don't go running to Scripture trying to prove your behavior. Christ would say, would I go to the court to get justice for me? Remember what he told Pilate? Pilate said, tell me who you are. Defend yourself. Do something.
Silence.
Christ opened not his mouth.
Silence.
That is to be our disposition.
Yeah.
When you're before people like that, your life has shown what it was. You don't have to defend it. Now suffer as our Savior suffered. That is the important part about doing that. And I'm so glad for those of you that are listening in to the webcast. Sometimes our phone rings here, and I know this person calling. We'll get back with you. All right, my brother? Thank you. We're doing a webcast. Thank you. Pastor's calling me all night. What's going on? All right. Maybe something happened. But go ahead, Bob.
Can I just a tidbit? A tidbit. Also, just a little dose of reality here, too. The reality is you go to law, you go to all this trouble. You end up paying a lawyer a whole lot of money. The only person that ends up with the money is the lawyer. He's the guaranteed winner no matter win, lose, or draw. The lawyer's got the money. He walks away with a smile on his face. You got a little bit left from that. Then you got to pay taxes on it. And after all of it, you kind of walk away with a feeling, gee, you know, was it really worth all that anyway? I ended up with a fraction anyway. And I didn't get what I thought I was going to get. It was a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of heartache. And I worried about the outcome. And even though I got the good outcome, really wasn't so good.
He ain't lying, because Mark was with me when the bus hit me. Mark saw it. I went to court. Got me an attorney. Lucy thought we were going to get a lot of money. Took 3 or 4 years before Lucy then died by the time the trial came up. She's gone in heaven. Finally, I go to trial and everything. And this was a so-called Christian lawyer on the radio. And guess what he did? He advertised my case on the radio, took most of my money. I just got a little portion of it. And I told Mark, that's why I had to turn the heat on, because since his collarbone is shattered, every time it gets cold, it aches and hurts. And that's what the doctor told me. This will hurt you for the rest of your life. And the money that I got was spent on ministry and the rest of it. I think I bought Mark lunch, and that's it. You lose when you go to court.
Lawyers win.
They win, you lose. What the Christian is to do is to trust in God, and just the way that God is providing a way for me to pay off this thing that I bought and take care of my life, he would do the same for each one of you out there, because, gentlemen, is the economy going to get worse or bad? Tell the truth.
Worse and worse.
This thing is going to dip. Even your new president, Obama, said that. He's looking real strange. Look at his face close now when the cameras is on him. He looked real strange because he ain't got no change to talk about. Matter of fact, the commentators on CNN today were saying, well, he could have said something encouraging. There is nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that it's a game and he's a part of the pimp game. And the whole country's going to go through this. Why? Because we have to learn how to live within our means. We shouldn't go out and buy. I shouldn't have to buy another tool for my studio to do anything. I can do well when I'm doing, but when the new gadget comes out, I'll want it if I have the money. Gentlemen, let's close it up. Talk to me.
Well, Pastor, yeah. I mean, the whole point here is not twisting the scripture around to make it say something that it hasn't said.
Right.
And especially a scripture that's very clear and simple. And it's part of our human nature. It's part of the dialectic.
It's
part of justifying. I mean, the dialectic is justifying sin.
Yes.
The dialectic is to use words to manipulate them around to make them say something that they didn't say.
Are you saying that if a Christian chooses to go to court that he's sinning?
If they're, again, trying to twist around going to court against another Christian or a professing Christian,
but what if
and
they
trying to twist the scripture right. in order to justify
it. So let me ask you this question. So what if they say the actions of the professing Christian is that of a sinner, and I don't believe in my heart of hearts that it's a Christian. Now, am I still justified in going to court since I believe that?
Again, I do not believe you are justified in going to court in that situation, because you have to really examine your heart. And are you just trying to convince yourself that that behavior is not consistent with a Christian? And if you're really, truly examine your heart, and that is the case, then you actually are not acting as a Christian ought to be acting.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. See, that makes sense because you've laid out the premise. In other words, you as a Christian would expect yourself to behave in a Christian manner.
Right.
Okay, Jesus said, if someone smites you, offer him your other cheek.
Right.
If someone takes your undergarment, give him the overgarment also. If they ask you to walk 1 mile, you should walk 20 miles. Now, you know what? That didn't mean just walk alongside the person. That meant to bear the person's burden as you walk with them. Mm-hmm. Jesus is saying, this is the disposition that we Christians have. So this is a fundamental question that we have to ask ourselves as Christians. Am I behaving as a born-again person, or am I behaving as a religious person seeking to justify myself with the book that got all the answers to make me right? Wow. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming by the studio tonight. I think we have
our pleasure
fulfilled what we were supposed to do. Thank you for listening into the webcast tonight. This is Dr. Bob Klink, Mark Ramsey, and Pastor John Coleman. I'd love to hear some of your comments about this. Mark Ramsey, do you remember my email address?
Into the word one@ca.rr.com.
And Mark Ramsey, why don't you give the 1-800 number in case they'd like to call me toll free to talk about this?
1-800-872-4309. 1-800-872-4309.
Now, I know that some of you professing Christians may not agree with what Bob and I and Mark said. I don't want you to try to get a Bible verse to shoot me down. I want you to go through with what your plans are, because that's the only way that you can prove this. Go through with your plans and see how God is going to work in your life. And check this out. God is not going to back you up if you take a text of his and tries to justify something that is not acquiescing to what he wants you to go through. In other words, if he wants you to go through some tension, my friends, you will go through it. This is Pastor John speaking for Mark and Bob, and we would just admonish you to do one thing.
Stay into the Word.
God bless you, and good night.